Hello, agents, and welcome to the 19th episode of the Ingress Insights podcast, hosted by myself, Pokemon Trainer Jay. Ingress Insights is a podcast all about narrative game Ingress. In this episode, we'll be going through the updates on Cryptic Memories Anomaly, which is in full swing, going through recapping the points scored, who's won each event so far, and the various badges that have been added as part of Cryptic Memories, and a few that have been added just because. And then any other Ingress news that's happened between last time. So starting off, I'm going to go into talking about the results from the first cell battle for the Cryptic Memories Anomaly. For the first cell battle of the Cryptic Memories Anomaly, which ran from the 7th to the 14th of February, this is now concluded, and the total points results are Enlightened got 117.3 points, and Resistance got 77.7 points. So Enlightened won that round of the Cryptic Memories cell battle, and will contribute points towards the overall Cryptic Memories Anomaly score. I'm just going to run through the specifics about the regional cells. So for AM01 Kilo 14, Enlightened got 4.8 points, Resistance got 10.2 points, so Resistance won that cell. In NR10 Romeo 05, Enlightened got 2.6 points and Resistance got 12.4 points, so Resistance won that cell. In AM01 Hotel 07, Enlightened got 14.3 points and Resistance got 0.7 points, so Enlightened won that cell. In NR05 Sierra 09, Enlightened got 13.7 points and the Resistance got 1.3 points, so that went to the Enlightened. In AM14 Popper 14, it was pretty close. Enlightened got 7.9 points and Resistance got 7.1 points, so it's very close, as I said, but Enlightened did win that cell. In NR03 Golf 06, it was a bit of a different story. Enlightened only got 2.8 points and Resistance got 12.2 points, so Resistance won that one. The exact same scores are for NR01 Foxtrot 13, with Resistance having 12.2 points and Enlightened having 2.8 points, so Resistance won that one as well. This next cell didn't really seem contested that much. So in AF07 Sierra 11, the Enlightened got 14.9 points and Resistance got 0.1. So that's the lowest score in this total. And in NR02 Juliet 07, the Enlightened got 10.5 points and Resistance got 4.5. So Enlightened won that one. In NR01 Juliet 04, The Enlightened got 13.6 points and the Resistance got 1.4, so Enlightened won that cell. In AS09 Romeo 03, Enlightened got 2.4 points and the Resistance got 12.6 points, so Resistance won that cell. In PA02 Alpha 00, this is another one that didn't seem that contested on one side. So Enlightened got 14.4 points and Resistance got 0.6 points. So that one went to the Enlightened. And in AS10 Golf 01, Enlightened got 12.6 points and Resistance got 2.4 points. And as a reminder, in total it was 117.3 points to Enlightened and 77.7 points to the Resistance for that first cell battle. There are some future cell battles that are coming up, so there'll be more of those. One is coming up on the 22nd of February. But for now, I'm going to move on to the results of the Shard Night that happened as well. The first Shard Night of the Cryptic Memories Anomaly happened yesterday on the 16th of February as I'm recording this podcast. So the total score, just to confirm that, first of all, it was very close. So Enlightened got 63.3 points, but the Resistance won the first Shard Knight overall with 66.7 points. So in those, there was various shards that were scored, some shards were unscored, For now, I'm just going to go through the actual points scored at each location. So in this time I'll go with the resistance points first, so in the enlightened points first last time. So in Athens, the resistance got 8.6 points and enlightened got 1.4 points, so resistance winning that cell. And in Bielefeld, the resistance got 5.5 points and enlightened got 4.5, so that one went to resistance. In Bradford, the resistance got 2 points and the enlightened got 8 points, that one going to the enlightened. In Brno, the resistance got 6.7 points and enlightened got 3.3 points, so resistance won that cell. In Bucharest, this one didn't seem to be contested, so resistance got 0 points on that one and enlightened got 10 points. And in Dresden, resistance got 8.3 points and enlightened got 1.7, winning that cell. In Geneva, there was a tie and each faction got 5 points, so that was a draw. In Istanbul, resistance got 7.3 points and enlightened got 2.7 points, so resistance won that one. In Lille, in the resistance got 1.8 points and enlightened got 8.2 points, with enlightened winning that one. This one in Lodz was a bit closer, with resistance having 5.7 points and enlightened having 4.3, so that one went to the resistance. Next one was also pretty close in Vilnius, with resistance having 4.5 points and enlightened getting 5.5, so enlightened getting the win there. And then in Raw Claw, the resistance got 8 points and enlightened got 2 points, so resistance winning that one. And then in Zaragoza, the resistance got 3.3 points and enlightened got 6.7 points, so the enlightened winning there. As I said, the overall winner of that one was the resistance with 66.7 points, and the enlightened got 63.3 points on there. So that's our first Shard Knight. The Ingress team call it Shard Knight 01 on their blog. So obviously we've got more Shard Knights to come, but before I go through the other Shard Knights and cell battles we've got coming up, I'm going to cover the Adelaide and Santiago XM anomaly results that have recently finished. This weekend saw two Cryptic Memories XM anomalies happening in Adelaide and Santiago. So there is a full breakdown of the points from Battle Beacon scores and things like that. However, I'm just going to go over the main scores that are presented on the Ingress news site. So in Adelaide, the Enlightened got 132.5 points and the Resistance got 36.6 points. So the Enlightened won Adelaide, and in Santiago, the Enlightened got 79.2 points and the Resistance got 85.8 points. So the Resistance should Santiago. The total points there being 211.7 points to the Enlightened and 122 points to the Resistance. So I just want to say where things are so far on there. So for the Global Live Op, the Resistance won that with 101.7 points versus 98.3 points from the Enlightened. For the first cell battle, the Enlightened won that with 117.3 points versus Resistance 77.7 points. The first Shard Knight was won by the Resistance with 66.7 points versus the Enlightened's 63.3 points. And the first anomaly series for this one was 211.7 points for the Enlightened versus 122.4 points for the Resistance. So at the moment, the Enlightened have 490.6 points from everything there, and the Resistance have 368.5 points. So the current score leader being the Enlightened, but we do still have plenty of events to go. I'm going to cover when those are coming up and where those are happening. The locations for the second cell battle for the cryptic memories anomaly have now been announced. These are for Sector Cycle 2024.08, which runs from February 22nd, 5 a.m. UTC, to February 29th at 7 a.m. UTC. So for America region, we have AM01 Mike 03, which is near Hartford. And you have AF02 Hotel 03, which is near Fortaleza in Brazil. And AM02 Kilo 00, which is near Cincinnati. And for the EMEA Europe region, we have NR02 Bravo 02, which is near Tbilisi in Georgia. And we have NR01 Golf 10, which is in Luxembourg, obviously in Luxembourg. And NR02 Echo 01, which is in Lublin, Poland. And for the APAC, the Asia region, we've got AS12 Kilo 13, which is in Chiang Mai, Thailand. AS16 Romeo 03 in Ulsan, Korea. AS14 Foxtrot 06 in New Delhi in India. PA01 Alpha 14 near Nagano in Japan. PA03 November 10 near Townsville, Australia. AS10 Romeo 12 near Davao City in the Philippines. And AS14 Bravo 15, which is in Abu Dhabi and Dubai in the UAE. So if you're in one of those cells, in that time you've got to capture as much MU as possible for your faction during that time, and then it'll determine how many series points each faction will receive, and those will then feed into the overall cryptic memories anomaly score. So if you're not sure where you are on there, you can open up your app and then check on scores, and it will tell you what cell you're in and what cells are nearby. So if you can get to a nearby cell and help out your faction, then obviously you can go off and do that. And as I said, there's still a few more events to come up, so I'm just going to go through and detail those and when we should hear more about those too. For this cryptic memories anomaly, we still have a fair few events still to go. So there's still one cell battle remaining on the 7th of March, where we'll get location for that announced on approximately the 26th of February. And we do still have two shard nights to go, with locations for APAC. They should be coming on the 1st of March for the actual event, and location announced approximately the 20th of Feb. And then the AMER America locations, that will happen on the 15th of March, and the location should get announced on approximately the 5th of March. And then obviously for March, we've got two cryptic memories XM anomalies on the ground. Those are the 16th of March weekend in Macau and Porto. So even if you think your faction's way ahead or you think your faction's way behind, there's still plenty more going on, plenty more points to be scored. So I wouldn't worry either way at the moment. And then I'm just going to update next about the new van portals that appeared on the XM anomalies, and maybe we'll get more. In the anomalies on the ground, agents reported that in Santiago in Chile, there was a portal called NL1331S, which was a new looking NL1331 van. Obviously, there was no actual van, it was just the portal, but that was acted like any other NL1331 portal, where agents could hack it, scan it, do various things on there. And that is a van that's got a kind of a red ground to it. And then for the anomaly in Adelaide, agents reported there's also an NL1331A portal that appears, again with no van, but just the portal. And there's, again, different to one, the main one that we have appear sometimes at anomalies. It's interesting that obviously Adelaide is called A, Santiago is called S. I wonder if we'll have an NL1331M for Macau and NL1331P for Porto until they've gone through all the letters of the alphabet. So maybe it's a hint if your location starts with one of the unused letters, maybe you're getting a XM anomaly in the future, so they can bring out a differently coloured NL1331 artwork and have that there for your location. But it's not something we expected, but they've been there. And also, I wanted to mention that agents reacted well to the TS Morpheus portal being brought out at the XM Anomaly. It was used, there's been various videos and media of people interacting with it. So I think that's been well received, and I hope to see some of the other portals that are created by agents come out of retirement, if it's possible, and if there's anomalies in their area. I think that's been quite cool to see and see how people react to it. And then I'm just going to talk about some badges that got added. They were announced before, but we've now got the designs for them. As I mentioned, these badges were announced before, being two badges based on characters from the Ingress animation show. So one of them is the Makoto Midorikawa 2024 bundle, and that comes with the badge for Makoto, five kinetic capsules and two portal frackers. The Zion Kunikida 2024 bundle, which comes with Zion's badge, five kinetic capsules and two portal frackers. And then outside of the anime badges, there is the Cryptic Memory Supporter bundle, and that comes with a Cryptic Memory Supporter badge, which is seen in the banner for Cryptic Memories, three Ada refractors, three Jarvis viruses, and one portal fracker. So the badges for the anime characters are just based on existing assets for their designs. Obviously, if you've seen the anime, you know that both of these characters are enlightened, so they do have a green background behind them with hexagons filled in, showing that they are enlightened agents. I would expect that for maybe March or for the next anomaly season, we'll see some resistance ones, so maybe Jack in the anime, who is Resistance. I'm trying to think of names of the other anime characters, but I can't right now. But those are all 30,800 CMU, and they're in the store from the 16th of February 2024 to the 31st of March 2024. So if you do like them, want to get the badges, then by all means pick them up on there. They are just cosmetic badges, they won't count towards any level up. But if you think they look cool and you want to have them for your profile, then by all means get them. But I said there's lasting until the 31st of March 2024. So even though I just said it, I don't think we'll get resistance badges this anomaly season, probably for Q2's anomaly season if they're lasting until the end of March. But who knows? The Ingress team decide to do odd things from time to time. So that being said, I'm going to just talk about another badge that got brought back to the store briefly, which I hope is still around by the time you're listening to this. So last podcast I mused that there was no Valentine's event announced yet for Ingress, and I talked about the 2022 Ingress event where they did Linking Hearts with XM and there was a badge to purchase. I don't know if the Ingress team listened, but they decided to bring back the 2022 Valentine's Day badge to the store. So that's our Valentine's event for 2024, I guess. But you can purchase that badge for 2,500 CMU. It does state it's the 2022 Valentine's Day badge, so it's no updates or anything to it on there, and it's purely just the badge. There's no bundles or anything that you get in that. It's available, they've said, until February the 18th, so I hope that's available until the end of the day, February the 18th. So if you've still got some spare CMU and you want to get the badge and you're just finding out about this now, you've still got time to pick that up. So if you like the look of it, then pick it up. But again, like the other ones, only a cosmetic badge, won't do anything for level ups or things like that. It just looks nice and shiny on your profile. And then I'm going to move on, just talk about the mission days that have now been announced. The Ingress team did provide an update on the Q2 mission days, which agents have been waiting a little while to be announced. So they shared this update on the 15th of February on their news page. So we've got a few on the 6th of April. We've got one in Miskolc in Hungary, one in Huntsville, Alabama in the United States, and then on the 13th we've got one in Oyamacho Tsubashiri in Japan, which is a mission day light. On the 13th of April there's also one in London in the UK. The 20th of April only has one, being Buxtehude in Germany. The 27th of April we've got three mission days, one in Goyangsi in South Korea, one in Copenhagen in Denmark, and one in Nampa in the United States. The 4th of May, we've got three as well. So one in Tachikawa City in Japan, one in Alessandria in Italy, one in Riverside, CA, United States. The 11th of May, we've got two, so one in Hengchun in Taiwan, and one in Nice in Serbia. The 19th of May, we've just got one in Naha, Japan. However, that is an anomaly mission day, as it mentions on there. And the 26th of May, we've got one in Chicago in the United States, which again is an anomaly mission day, because in May, the Chicago anomaly had to be moved. So they aren't on the same day as we've had for February. Then moving into June, we've got one on the 2nd of June in Leoa in Spain, the 8th of June in Stavanger in Norway, two on the 16th of June for the anomaly mission day, one being in Kuching, Malaysia, and one in Budapest, Hungary. The 22nd of June, we've got one in Le Havre, France, and the 29th of June is our last one for Q2 in Kamakura, Japan. If you want to apply for further mission days, you can do that via visiting Ingress's site and seeing what you need to do from there. But if you can attend those, you can then go out and get your mission day badge ticked up and then get more badges added to your profile, which is always a nice thing that agents want to do. And then just a short update next about the Intel map. On the Ingress Intel map, on the main website for it, agents had to previously log in using only Google or Facebook accounts. However, Apple accounts could be linked to an Ingress ID, so you could create your Ingress account using purely an Apple ID and then would have to link it to Google or Facebook to actually use the Intel map. However, the team updated this recently, so you can now log in and use the Intel map using an Apple ID, if it's the same one that you use to log into Ingress, to then view the details on there. So it's only a small update, but something that some agents have been asking for a while, that obviously made their accounts using an Apple ID and have then been unable to use the Intel map without linking another service to their game, which they may not have wanted to do. So if you're purely an Apple ID user, you're absolutely fine now to use the Intel map and plan out your operations, link, see what links you can make, and go forward from there with it, basically. I did want to slip in a reminder here that the Wayfair Ambassador applications are still open until the 18th of February, which is when this podcast releases. I tend to release this at around 7:30 a.m. UK time, and it should close about 8 p.m. UK time for applications. So if you listen to this when it comes out, you've got about 12 hours to make an application if you still want to do that. If you want further information, I'll have the link in the show notes, or you can listen to details on the previous podcast where I discuss it in a bit more detail. But like I said before, it's something that I found worthwhile doing. So if you think it's something you want to do, then please do apply. Make sure you've got enough time to answer all the questions accurately, and make sure to include any details that it asks for on there as well. I'm just going to move into some random bits of news and discussion next. Agents are waiting for an app update now that the cryptic memories anomaly has finished for this month. Generally, the Ingress team are aiming at providing an app update every 2 weeks, and the last one issued was on the 5th of February, which obviously brought in daily bounties with it. So we'd expect one to be released on the 19th or around that time. I'm not really expecting it to be a massive one on there, seeing as the last one we had was quite large and obviously contained all the things for the daily bounties to come in. And just as an aside, I'm quite enjoying the daily bounties. I've completed all of my ones for the past few days since it's been out. My missions and banners look horrible, so I've just done one mission each when that's come up, but I will fix it at some point. It's not urgent right now. I was more wanting to get out and complete the bounties, get the prizes on there, but I know some agents still don't like to complete one mission when they don't have any nearby, and some agents for whatever reason, don't like bounties at all, even though it's something the majority of agents have asked for, I think. But I wonder how you're finding bounties. Are you doing it every day? Are you just doing it when it's got things come up that you think are interesting? If you want to leave us a voice message or send us an email, you can do that via the usual social media channels I'll mention at the end of the podcast. And then moving on now, I'm going to move on to our feature section. Last time on the feature section, I mentioned the Linking Hearts with XM event and went over that. And then somehow the Valentine's Day 2022 medal showed up in the store. So I'm going to see if I can manifest the Toast medal coming back and talk about that event that happened in 2022 as well. So this is one that happened on the 24th of February 2022 until the 28th of February 2022. For that, there were glyph sequences filled with Toast, double glyph bonus AP, double glyph hack bonus output, and a 10-minute drone cooldown. There was also a limited time Toast A 2022 medal for 2,500 CMU, a BOGO Fracker pack, which was 10 Frackers for 28,800 CMU, and a Toast Beacon 10 pack, which was 3,900 CMU. Obviously, the Ingress team have taken the Toast notification pop-up a bit far with this, having obviously two Toast plushes that you can purchase and Toast badges and pins, things like that. So it's quite a fun little mascot, I guess, if we have one for Ingress, being the Toast icon. So again, this is something they did back in 2022. I'm kind of hopeful that with the February events, as far as we've got them posted, now being over, apart from the cell battles that are coming up for the Cryptic Memories Anomaly, there's no global events that are currently happening. So I'm hopeful that if there was someone listening to the podcast last week, they're listening this week and they might maybe push the Toast badge out for that event. I think it was really fun. I enjoy the little Toast thing that's there, and I'd love to see it come back every year, but unfortunately it doesn't seem like it is yet. But who knows, it may yet come back before the end of February. And I just want to cover as well a little bit about Valentine's Day tweet that Niantic sent out and an update on there. I wasn't really sure where to put this section in, but I guess in the features bit will be fine. So on the 13th of February, the Niantic Labs Twitter/X account sent out a tweet saying that Valentine's Day is just around the corner and want to hear your love stories. Did you meet your partner through gaming? Do you and they play together every day? You can let them know by emailing. Most of the messages in there mentioned about Pokemon Go, but Niantic Tia posted on her Telegram account that she could think of at least six couples off the top of her head that fall into the category, and to make sure that Ingress is represented. And the Niantic Labs Twitter sent out a tweet on Valentine's Day to say, "Happy Valentine's Day, love knows no bounds, teams or factions. Meet the love buds who found love while playing Niantic games." And it's got Pearl and their partner who met on Community Day, presumably for Pokemon via Pokemon Go. And then Killy and Billadil, who went from faction to family, obviously being from Ingress. And Antonio and Cynthia, who had Ingress-themed wedding invites. So it seems like Ingress was more represented, so that was great to see. But obviously, if you've got any more to share, or you want to share any player stories that you think the Niantic Labs Twitter account should share, then you can find that email. I'll link to Tia's mention of it and the tweet on there, and then you can send any player stories you've got. For me now, I'm going to get on and wrap things up. I'm going to run through a bit of technical behind the scenes information firstly before I do that, but then I'll get everything wrapped up and get you back to your Sunday. So Thanks for listening to the 19th episode of the Ingress Insights podcast. Again, as mentioned, hosted by myself, Pokemon Trainer Jay. You can follow us on Threads and Instagram under ingress.insights, or you can email us using the email in the show notes. And obviously, if you like the podcast, always appreciate if people rate 5 stars, which helps with things like visibility. And obviously, there is now the Ko-fi link, however you pronounce that, if you want to donate, but there's zero pressure to do that, just something I've added in to see how it goes. And as I mentioned, I just want to add a few technical updates before I wrap up. So if you use Apple Podcasts, you'll see there's now transcripts available for every episode. So as part of accessibility, you can see details on there. They are slowly working through the catalogue of the podcasts, but I believe they'll have this one straight away. The previous one is already up, and the one before that. So they'll slowly work through and make transcripts of all of them, which obviously, as I mentioned, helps with accessibility for people who maybe can't get my accent or need a bit more detail on there. And then, in addition, I use Spotify for podcasters for the podcast at the moment. They are making some changes in June, which might not mesh with how I make the podcast currently. So either I'll have to change what I do and record in one continuous segment, or I'll have to look at other podcast services where I can record segments, stitch them together as I do now, and basically look and see how I do that. So things might change from June, but I'm going to kind of look around, poke around and see what I can do in the meantime. If you've got any recommendations, let me know. I know there's various things like Acast podcasts and iHeartRadio and various things like that. But if there's a service you know works really well, please do let me know by sending an email or send me a post on Threads. That'd be appreciated. All that being said, now I'm going to get you back out to enjoy your Sundays and have fun hacking, completing your daily bounties. Next week we'll be looking at whatever Ingress news has happened in the meantime, and having quite a big discussion on mental health in gaming, as I mentioned a few podcasts ago, as part of a little partnership there that we're doing. So look forward to that. We'll see you again soon, agents.